Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live Off the Record with Shabaga Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, where we are having echoes once again that I have no doubt will fade off at point for some reason. If you want to give us a call today, you can do so on any of the following numbers. See, the echo is gone. 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land. We have some special guests with us today. We're going to talk to them for a bit. And then in our second hour, I'm going to address a question that has been put to me on a number of occasions as to what being arraigned means to a member of parliament holding on to his or her seat. So we'll deal with that in the second hour. But for the time being, now I have representatives of the Bahamas Development Bank and the Tourism Development Corporation. So I'm going to ask Samaya Cargill, please, ma'am, if you would introduce your colleagues, and then we'll discuss some of these important matters you have to talk to us about today.
Good afternoon, Shabaga. Thank you so much for having us on today. Of course, I'm Sumaya Cargill. I'm head of strategic development and initiatives at the Bahamas Development Bank. We've been on the show before. And with me today is Regina Smith. She is project officer in strategic development initiatives and engaged in a lot of the projects that we're working on. And I'll let my colleague from Tourism Development Corporation introduce her very vivacious self.
Good afternoon. My name is Khadija Young. I am the business development lead at the Tourism Development Corporation. And I am also here with Dina Coakley, who is our linkages lead at the Tourism Development, sexual engagement lead at the Tourism Development Corporation. Yeah. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, now you guys play a strategic role in the economic development of the country, tourism being centered in that major industry of ours, but Bahamas Development Bank employing its capital on all other fronts, including tourism in the country. Tell us what's new, what's going on these days.
So we're here today to talk about our Bahamas Financing Innovation Expo, which some of your listeners may already heard a little bit about or seen. It's happening at Crypto Isle on East Bay Street on July 1st and 2nd. And we're really happy and excited to be doing this because it's really the first of its kind. It's a business-to-business focused expo. It's really aimed at current or aspiring business owners. And it's bringing together a lot of the elements that support business in the country. First of all, financing. So all of the agencies that support financing from a public perspective, so Tourism Development Corp, the Small Business Development Center, the Bahamas Entrepreneurial Venture Capital Fund, the Bahamas Agricultural and Industrial Corporation, and of course, BDB, We're all coming together to participate and contribute to this expo, first and foremost. And then we have the commercial banks who are coming in as well to talk about the financing options that they bring to the table for businesses in this country. We also have alternative financiers coming in to talk about their offerings as well. And that's really just the start of the vendor list, a very, very long vendor list of businesses that provide services and support to bring businesses and really take them to the next level. And as a special feature, we're so glad to be focusing and having the Tourism Village on hand. And Khadijah can really speak to that.
Well, first of all, before Khadijah speaks, let me just say, I'm excited because there entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs in the country lament access to capital. Where can we find capital? How can we get funding? How can we get financing? And if I know expos as I know expos, you are saying you're bringing those people in one space where people can interact with them and get all the questions answered or make the kind of connections and contacts that they need to make if they are trying to proceed with some vision, ambition, or enterprise they have.
Yes, that's absolutely it. And you hit the word on the head when you said connections. You know, as a small business owner myself, you know, there are so many services that I feel that I need to upgrade my business. But sometimes you're trying to navigate a landscape of a lot of other, you know, companies, a lot of services. And, you know, time is of the essence. You don't necessarily have the time to go around and make all of the phone calls. We really want to provide a one-stop shop for anybody at any stage of the business. So in addition to financing, we also have companies that specialize in marketing services, in business and consulting services, in packaging services, in architectural design and decor, in information technology. So a whole list of businesses that you can just walk in and say, you know, this is where my business is at. This is what I do. What can you provide me that is going to help me take my business to the next level, get me more sales, get me more customers, get me, you know, increase my profitability, whatever it is that you need. There's going to be a vendor there who can help you provide it with a business, with a product or service to get you there. And that's just the vendors. And the vendors are one component of this expo. We also have the capacity building side where we have an amazing panel and presentation lineup, completely and 100% free on a whole host of topics that people can take part in. So, you know, it's really about building connections, learning and networking. We're giving a space on the first night just for networking and mixing, a cocktail reception, walk around, talk to people, meet people, sip on some of the fine products of Caribbean bottling, and just make connections with businesses and with other like-minded persons.
So as I imagine it, I mean, from seed, which is I have an idea to do a business, to operating or even expanding, there's someone for everyone in that spectrum. So you're in the expo going, okay, I have an idea. I maybe need some business development planning. Bahamas Development Bank is there. Bahamas Small and Medium-Sized Business Development Center is there. Well, you know, my business is up and running, but I need some accounting, administrative support and help. That's there too. In addition, you know, well, I need some capital to start my idea. I need some capital to expand my idea. And then there's the traditional commercial banks, the alternative financial arrangements, and then there are the public sector funding opportunities. I mean, that's fantastic. Is this like one day or 2 days or what is happening?
It's over 2 days. So the 12 to 8 on Friday, July 1st. And the second day is from 10 to 6. So that's Saturday, July 2nd. And on both days, you can come in and see the vendors at any time. And then we have an event schedule of amazing things that are happening at the expo. So again, on the first day, we're planning a creative panel specifically just, you know, for the creative industries to come in and talk about and learn about monetizing their creativity, Then there's an open cocktail reception for persons who are in business to come in and talk to like-minded persons while they visit the vendors. And then on the second day, we have a pitch workshop. We have our panels. We have a pitch competition with amazing prizes. C is coming in with a workshop series for jewelry making and candle making. So it's really going to be a one-stop shop, something for everyone. And of course, we have the Tourism Village as well with their retail and wholesale show. Whatever stage your business is in, whether it's just the conception, whether it's just the dream, all the way to if you're well-established, this expo is going to have something for you.
Now, just because I know, you know, some of our listeners can be fairly particular, let's do the days again and the times, and this time make sure you say a.m. or p.m. because, you know, people get a little legalistic when they're ready.
So okay, no problem. So it is 2 days, July 1st, which is the Friday, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Okay. And then Saturday, July 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, so don't get it mixed up. So for those people who say, well, you know, I'm working, yeah, you got like 3 hours from 5 o'clock because it's to 8 p.m.
And then exactly.
And then Saturday, you don't have to get up that early because it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you can do what you got to do and still make it out.
Exactly.
Tourism Development Corporation, what is particular about your participation in the whole scheme of things? I mean, we know tourism's the big cheese in the economy. So what is happening in that tourism space at the expo?
Okay, so when the Bahamas Development Bank told us that they were doing this huge expo, the Tourism Development Corporation, we just knew we needed to be a part of it because our mandate is to diversify, enhance, and rejuvenate the tourism sector. So we wanted to have a village that showcases just how diverse the industry is and how more diverse we can make it. So we wanted to showcase persons that make jewelry, if that. We wanted to showcase persons that aren't in the usual tourism field because we've gone far beyond, whereas it's just the straw bags or you're just considering the taxi drivers as tourism enterprises. So we wanted to just showcase that the sector is large, it's diversifying, we're trying to rejuvenate it, and we want to encourage persons to come on into the Tourism Development Corporation and let us help them make their dreams of entering the sector a reality. So we knew that we needed to be there to showcase this, to help persons get in on the sector, as well as help persons that are there that are wholesale ready so that we can also make that connection.
And that's important. And it's important for people to know because, you know, a lot of people complain that we are one horse show, whatever, you know, in tourism.
Correct.
But the fact of the matter is, it is a huge economic part of our circumstances here, and it ain't going nowhere. And so it does offer lucrative opportunities, but sometimes you're wondering, how do I take advantage of that? And that's what the Tourism Development Corporation is all about.
That is correct. And we want persons to know, if your major source of income or a large chunk of your income is from the tourism dollar, tourism enterprise. And a lot of times people say, you need to get away from it, you know? But even though we want to, we really can't. So let's diversify it. We know that this is our major input, the holder of our gross domestic product. Let's diversify it. Let's widen it. Let's ensure that more persons can get a piece of the pie. Let's not throw away the baby with the bathwater, but let's just make it even better than it is now.
For the folks who are coming to the expo, where's the location again?
This is at Crypto Isles, which is on East Bay Street, formerly known as Luciano's. That can help a lot of persons with getting a landmark.
Yeah, that definitely will do that. Yeah, just on the spot where Luciano was.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. So now you can anchor yourself, you know where to go. And be, now what should a person coming to the expo expect will be the kind of interaction activities at the expo? What should they expect? I come to the location there, formerly Luciano's. I enter the space, and what should I expect?
Okay, I'll field that question. So once you come in, once you drive up, you're going to see Easy Car sales there. And Easy Car is providing free electric text drives on that day. And that's before you get into the space, right? So once you walk in, you're going to meet our friendly team who's going to guide you through, you know, the registration process. A lot of everything is, of course, well, 90% of the activities are free, right? The only cost is for the workshops, the jewelry making and the candle making. And we are actually covering half the cost of the workshop. So people are really getting a very subsidized and very fair price for those BAIC workshops. So once you come in and register, there's a nice little relaxation lounge. If you just needs a place where you can stop and take a break. If you are a pitch competition registrant, you will head into the pitch comp. There will be a workshop training people on how to upgrade their pitching skills, or you can continue straight out to the vendor arena. So once you enter the vendor arena, you are going to see over 40 vendors who are involved in various sectors of business support goods and services. We have some really interesting ones who provide things like marketing, as I mentioned. Sherrod Lightburn is there offering discounts for headshots. You have the walk-in clinic who is coming on to talk about their services that they provide to businesses, along with a whole host of others. You have our financing pavilion with all of our financing partners, as well as our public partners. You can continue on to the tourism village, where you can visit all the great tourism vendors that have been set up for you. You can head over to the BAIC workshop cabana, where people will be doing activities. Or you can go upstairs to room one, where we have panels, and we have a whole host of great panels on things like green financing, on e-commerce integration for businesses. As you know, in the pandemic, if you're not online, it's as if your business doesn't exist. So we will be providing information to businesses on how to integrate e-commerce into websites, into payment platforms. We will be talking about how to export your products and services. So we have a great lineup of panelists, four persons to take part in throughout the entire day. The panels are divided into two rooms, room one and room two. So they're happening at the same time. So you can choose which room you want to be in. So as you can imagine, it's a very busy space. Of course, we have our food vendors on site. We have alcohol on sale via Caribbean Bottling. So it's really a space where if you want to come, you could spend the entire day at the expo.
Now, just to be sure, is there a requirement to register in advance? Do you want people to register in advance, or is it just walk in, drop in?
You can walk in if you're not going to one of the presentations or panels. And the reason we have registrations for the presentation or panel is because there is limited space given the COVID environment. So we just want to make sure that everybody who's interested, we can accommodate them. Registration, you can go to our website, www.bdb.gov.bs, for more information on how to register for one of the presentations or panels. But otherwise, you can just drop in and enjoy the day with us.
Okay. And folks to know, so let them get it in. I'm telling you, if you are somebody interested in starting a business, continuing your business, expanding your business, you need to be at the expo, because, you know, y'all always crying about you don't have the help. It's too, you know, people all over the place. But this is a central location to meet lots of people relevant to what your needs are, so that you can walk out of there saying, okay, well, I've lined up appointments with this one, that one, the next one, to be able to get this answer, that answer, the next thing, and so forth. True or not true?
Absolutely 100% true. And we want you to come with your questions, come and ask us anything that you've been thinking about, come and talk to us. We're very open. And this is the time.
I love it because I know as somebody who's been in business, have started businesses, that, that early stage in particular, oh my God, the places and people and connections you're trying to make and you're scrambling here and scrambling there. And if you had just a simple connections, you would save so much time and so much resources and probably open up some opportunities that you wouldn't have opened up before. And it's not just about getting help developing a business plan, for instance, or marketing a business, et cetera. But also there are opportunities to meet some of the potential clients you might be looking for or vendors you might be looking for. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely. So we really want to make this a practical type of expo in the sense that we want people to come in and really take something away. So come in with a problem, come in with the idea that I need this. And we want you to walk away with that problem is, right? And of course, making those connections to say, this is what I do in my business. You will definitely be in contact with people who are probably looking for what you provide as a business. So come in and talk to other business owners and maybe you can walk away with some business of your own. You know, that is absolutely the spirit of what we're looking for in this expo.
And I understand that the Bahamas Development Bank should be taking on some new funding. So y'all are part of the opportunities for financing too.
We are always, always, always looking for businesses that we can make an investment in, whether that's through loans. And as you know, we've been offering some grants recently. So come and talk to us about your business and hopefully, you know, we can advance some type of facility for you.
All right. Anything else you want to say before we shut this down?
I just wanted to add in that the Bahamas Development Bank right now is creating such an innovative space. Anyone, everyone that even have the slightest idea of starting a business, this is the place to be. You have everyone in a one-stop shop, and this is unbelievable. So this is happening.
I agree 100%. And I have to say, from all I've learned and heard about what the Bahamas Development Bank is doing, it is certainly getting out the box. Not forgetting out the box. That you're doing. It seems to me like you're smashed.
Absolutely. Agreed. That's what happens. That's what happens when you finance innovation. That's the kind of thinking that we need to build our economy, to diversify what we do, right?
I agree 100%. Well, ladies, thank you very much. We wish you all the best with the expo. One more time, for people who need to register for those panels, where can they register?
You can visit our website, www.bdb.gov.bs.
And one more time, the location is?
My first and second at CryptoWild. Formerly Luciano's on East Bay Street.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much. And anytime you need to get the information out, you let us know.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabara Lang, your host. We were talking with Samaya Cargill from the Bahamas Development Bank. And all I see is Tourism Development Corporation. I was speaking with
Khadija Young and Dean Hopley.
That's right. Thank you so much, ladies. Appreciate your coming today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Falls through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
Sheila, human from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578. Or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads, too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Wolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So some people have been curious about Mr. Gibson, the Member of Parliament for Long Island, and he is the Member of Parliament for Long Island. Let's say status and chances of retaining his seat in the House of Assembly, given that he has been arraigned. and charged before the courts. So I thought that the question could actually provide some wonderful enlightenment about some things related to governance, okay, in our country. And first of all, let me say that under our law, being charged with a crime does not disqualify you from holding a position. Okay? It you don't make no difference what you think in your head about how many charges were levied or how bad the charges are. Being charged before the courts does not disqualify you. In fact, under the Constitution, the disqualification insofar as things like the criminal justice system is concerned, if you're under a sentence of death imposed by a court, then you are disqualified. If you're serving a sentence of imprisonment, and that doesn't stop there, by whatever name called, exceeding 12 months imposed by the court or a competent authority, right? Then you are disqualified. Or is under such a sentence, the execution of which has been suspended, right? So nothing in that says, if you are taken before the courts by the police, if you are charged before the courts by the police, if you are under trial before the courts, none of that disqualifies you from holding on to your seat as a member of parliament. Now, if you are a senator, right, you're not disqualified by any of those things either. But in the case of a senator, the person who appointed you, because you're not elected in this country as a senator, the person who appointed you could certainly make a judgment that in any one of those circumstances, you've been hauled before the courts, you are charged before the courts, you are under trial, they can decide, no, we're going to remove you and replace you with somebody else. That's something entirely different. But not a member of parliament. And let me tell you what the lesson is here. I want you all to appreciate something. The sovereign power of the state is consolidated in the people of the country, the voters of the country. Okay? All the power of a state originates in the people of the country under a democracy. All of it. All of the power. All of the power. Any power exercised by any office in the country first originates in the first office of the country, which is the office of citizenship. So in the collective offices of citizenship is all the power of the state, the power held by the cabinet, the power held by the judiciary, the power held by the parliament. They all originate in the collective offices of citizenship. And so what happens is that the citizenship, the office of citizenship, makes a decision to delegate some of its power to these various institutions. I'm going to give some of my power to the cabinet and its direction and control of the government. I'm going to give some of the power to the Parliament of the Bahamas, and it shall have the power to make laws and to make any law saving a law that contradicts the Constitution. And so some power I'm going to keep to myself. What power is that? To elect the next government, I will give that power to no one, saving it myself. And so the power belongs to the people. Now, when the people elect you, the general concept is only the people can remove you, saving and except you remove yourself. And what the people say is, in the Constitution, here are the terms under which you shall be automatically removed. If X, Y, and Z happens, you are automatically disqualified. So the people make that determination by virtue of the Constitution. But saving and except for that, saving and except for you deciding, I no longer want to hold this office that the people gave to me, saving and except for that, only the people can remove you. And that only during the course of an election. That's how powerful the people are, how solid, outside the people's determination, a seat in the House of Assembly is. That's how solid it is. That's why you cannot prevent a member of the House of Assembly, a parliamentarian, from going to the House of Assembly to do his or her job. Or if they're just going to chill out because the House isn't in session or whatever, that's a different story. But if the House is in session and they are on their way there, you can't arrest them. You cannot detain them. It's against the law to do so. Why? They go to do the people's business. And why is that important? Because the people have the power and the people gave them part of the power so they could do their businesses. You know, how dare you affront the people who gave them a duty to do by detaining them from that duty? It is not possible because they are under the task of the people who hold the real power of the state. So this notion that you've been arraigned, blah, 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 nobody, you cannot be removed. That does not disqualify you, not at all, especially since you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. No. Until you are sentenced. And you have to be sentenced for more than 12 months. Until then, you are not disqualified. So, in the circumstances of a member of parliament for Long Island, he is not automatically disqualified from serving in the House of Assembly. Now, there is, as I said, the possibility that he determines, I will not continue in this office that I hold. That's entirely a personal decision for him. And why would he make such a decision? He might determine in the first instance that this situation has become so bad in terms of its public outcry or public knowledge that my ability, all consuming to my effort, that my ability to serve the people in the way that I want to serve them is impeded, and therefore I shall remove myself so that another can be elected to do that job unfettered by the nuisance of legal activities of defending myself. He might make that determination. He might decide that having surveyed my constituents, that I determined that a vast majority of them or too many of them no longer have confidence in me and feel aggrieved by the circumstances that it makes it impossible to even have the kind of support that I would like to have on going to represent them. And maybe they feel in a certain kind of way about it. And so I therefore will remove myself from office so as to give them someone in whom they can repose their confidence and then the work and the job that they wish done on their behalf. But that's entirely a personal decision. Even if all of the constituents got together and said, bro, we don't want you to be our member of parliament, he has no obligation, none whatsoever, no requirement to resign. He doesn't have to. He would, if he does so, he would do so simply in compliance with the wishes of those voters. But he doesn't have to. There's no requirement legally for him to do so. So removal only by disqualification under the provisions of the Constitution or by a voluntary act of resignation from the House of Assembly. That's the only way it could happen. You could go in there and all the members of the Parliament could vote and no confidence in him, and that would make no difference. No difference whatsoever. They could row and fuss and cry and yell and scream and criticize all they want, make no difference. He don't have to resign unless he determines in himself that this is what I wish to do, right? And I want you to understand, this has nothing to do with your thinking, oh, well, that means anybody could this and that. That's irrelevant. You gotta understand the principle at work here. The will of the people should not be frustrated. Should not be frustrated, saving and accept by impediments to the service that they have given and expressed that will for a person to do on their behalf. Should not be frustrated by anything other than their expressed will to the contrary. That's the notion there. It is actually a affirmation of the high regard for your power as the people that your representatives cannot be easily removed from office, saving and except from very particular set of circumstances. If fickleness could do it, it wouldn't make much sense. We got callers on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Shabbat.
I'm mostly good, man. How are you?
Okay. I'm great, thanks. I tend to differ with you a little bit. Could I explain myself, please?
You can go right ahead, please. Okay. Go right ahead.
Listen.
Just remember.
I understand.
Don't differ with my opinion. Express to me what the law says.
Yeah, the law. Okay. All right. The particular gentleman, right? Right?
Listen to me. Pardon? I'm not talking about any gentleman today. Uh-huh. I am talking about a seat called a member of parliament and
okay,
what the
let me,
law
let me get
says.
Right to it then. Let me get right to it. Let me cut to the chase. If any member of parliament, right, has a government contract or involved in a government contract and doesn't declare in the House of Assembly, is deemed what, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, if you even express an interest and you don't disclose it.
What is that particular gentleman being charged with? Isn't those pertaining to government contracts?
Well, first of all, sir, what I'm saying to you is this. If the Constitution...
There is a provision, I would like to... I don't remember the section right off on, but
I quoted it. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. I'm not disagreeing.
Yes,
but it's still, all I'm saying is, you can only be disqualified under a provision of the Constitution. I only talked about the fact that some people think if you are arraigned, you should be disqualified.
No, you can't be disqualified just by being arraigned, no.
Right,
but
right.
The Constitution does have a provision for that.
If you have a contract.
Having contracts and not disclosing in the House of Assembly.
Okay, now, here's the thing, right?
Yes, sir.
You have then got to prove that person has a contract. Now, receiving monies for a contract isn't having a contract.
No, but he's involved in it because his signature is also on certain documentation.
Are we not doing that on the show? We cannot. You and I don't know the details of any case. We don't know that. Don't do that. I'm sorry. We're not doing that. We have another call on the line. Please go ahead, caller. Quickly.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how you doing? I got like two minutes or so, please. Sorry.
Well, I'd like to call you back after the hour because I want
to... No problem. Sounds good. That's better. That way you can explain yourself fully. All right? Do not call the show talking to me about the details of this case because you don't know the details of a case. You don't know all the particulars. I don't know it. And so I don't want to get caught up in that. So don't come on my show playing no judge and jury. Don't do that. We can talk about general principles, and that's what I'm talking about today. What the Constitution says qualifies or disqualifies somebody to hold an office. That's what we're talking about today. Go ahead. Anyways, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, for news. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where the corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Trust that you are doing well. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We were talking a bit about the circumstances that might lead to the disqualification or resignation of a member of parliament finding himself or herself before the courts. And so the point we were making is that under our Constitution, there are a specific set of circumstances that invoke that. And no matter the circumstance, whatever the situation is that disqualifies a person, that has to be demonstrated, okay? That can't come from somebody alleging it to be the case. That's not enough. You got to prove it, right? So for instance, one circumstance is if that person is a citizen of a country other than the Bahamas, you can't just say, well, he's a citizen of another country. You got to go ahead and prove that, right? Not only do you have to prove that, you have to then prove that he or she didn't become a citizen of the country by virtue of just being born there or by virtue of their been inheriting that through parentage, because you have to voluntarily become a citizen to fall under that disqualification. So somebody can't just say, oh, I heard he's a citizen of the United States of America, and therefore, no, if you want to disqualify that person, you have to now demonstrate by evidence that to be the case, right? Or if you say the person, because the Constitution says that they pledge allegiance to obedience to or adherence to a foreign power, you have to prove that. You can't just allege it. This is a point where I find too often on these shows, people have no difficulty just getting off and talking like they just know. And it's bull crap. And I'm gonna let you have it. So even where it talks about the fact that an interest in a contract with the government and so forth. You got to prove it. You have to prove that they do and that they fail to disclose that. You have to prove it. Can I just say it? If somebody haven't been alleged to do something before the courts was sufficient for you to disqualify them, then why are they going through the trial? Why have a trial? Come on, folk. We got to understand it a little better than that. A little better. We got to call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, yes. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, Mr. Lang, I've been accused of so many things in life, right?
Mm.
And so many things happened to me, and I was innocent. And then a funny thing happened last week. Somebody moved a little insignificant amount of money out of my shop. But the person who I thought had moved it wasn't the person. And the person who I least expected to move it, moved it. So I stopped being presumptuous. But I don't want to comment on that. I need a little help here. Because I notice you keep using the word constitution. You know, I read a lot. And I'm disturbed about constitutions globally. I'm still traumatized from the emergency powers, right? And I was always wondering, how could this law be implemented without the global sheep input, without the collective? And so, to me, it's a farce when someone says...
How could what law be implemented?
The emergency powers, which is unconstitutional. But I don't want to dwell on that.
Hold on. How is the emergency power unconstitutional if it's the Constitution that makes provision for the emergency power?
But they can't use, but what I'm saying is the public didn't have an input into it. All of a sudden, the emergency powers appeared.
But the public doesn't...
On the global sheet. This is not even pertaining to what I wanted to ask you. I just was making a quick comment on it.
No. 42. Let me tell you all something. You all must know me by news. What I regard to be misinformation or... Let me finish this first for people so that they can be informed. If the Constitution makes provision for something, it can't be unconstitutional unless a court decides that the interpretation of that provision was not correct to have made something unconstitutional. So the emergency powers are provisions in our Constitution. Therefore, emergency powers are not unconstitutional. Carry on, please. Is he gone? Ah, man. I try to have patience. I must have patience. Right, but you're not gonna come here on the show, introduce a incorrect notion, misinformation, or poor information, and then turn around and try and change the subject on me because I ain't that kind of soul. I'm not gonna do that. So once you make your point, and if I regard it as something that needs clarification, I'm going to do that. You can't just move on to your next point. You don't run the show. You don't host the show. You are a guest caller to the show. Okay? So let's just be able to operate accordingly. Okay? This text says, that's a shame then, Line. That means that we are doing ourselves a real injustice by not changing the law to allow us to remove those we have confidence in. That needs to change immediately. Oh, really? First of all, how are you going to change it immediately? Right. Secondly, you say we. How do you know that a majority of people no longer want anybody? How do you know that? Because you don't? Come on, man. Life don't work like that. Otherwise, all you could do is walk around and say, well, I want these, the F&M in, and they're in. You say, I want the PLP and they're in. That doesn't work like that. You haven't a clue right now if a majority of anybody feels any way about anything. Not right now. You've done no surveying, you've not talked to enough people, engaged their views. You have no idea what a majority of people feel about anything. And if you want your constitution changed, you can't do it immediately. How are you going to do it immediately? What does that mean? You have to first introduce a change in the House of Assembly, which means that the cabinet has to go and organize for the appropriate drafting of amendments to the constitution That's going to take some time, and then they have to approve it, and then they have to introduce that to the House of Assembly by way of bill. And the entrenched provision of the Constitution, those provisions can only be changed by virtue of a referendum, so you have to go ahead and organize a referendum to be done, and so forth. So how do you, how's it going to be immediate? I understand you, your passion. I understand what you mean. This text says, what evidence does the court require to allow authorities to seize assets? Well, the only evidence that the court requires is that the assets are the subject of proceeds of crime, and the seizing of the assets is not the same as taking it from the person. What you're doing is you are enabling those assets to be frozen so as not to be manipulated and removed from the sphere of the inquiry of the courts. That's what the difference is. So don't take seizing of assets to mean I'm taking your assets. They still belong to you in law. But what the courts have said is for the benefit of the inquiry of the court, and so now so as not to interfere with the evidence that might be material to the case, we are going to make this subject to no removal, to no transfer. That's all that means. Okay? Forfeiture is a different word. When you forfeit something, you are dispossessed of it. All right? Again, it's important for us to understand these things so that we are not using words, embracing concepts that do not have any reality in fact or in truth. We have a caller, we have a set of callers on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hello? Okay, not sure what's going on there. Say his name is 52, not 42. I didn't call him 42, eh? Did I call him 42? I didn't call him 42. I know it's 52. Say, awesome shows always. So just because someone speaks fast or loud does not mean that they are correct. Continue to educate those of us who choose to listen to fast. I'm going to try, man. I'm going to try. You know, it's important for us to... as best as possible. I don't claim to be an expert on any of these matters. And any person with expertise on any matter about which I speak who wishes to correct me, I'm happy to have that correction because of misinformation, bad information. I do not want to be. I don't even want to mislead you in any information or fact. I can recall maybe a couple of instances in which people have corrected me on the show, and I'm happy for it. I do not want to be poorly understand anything, right? But to be sure, what happens with me is when you say something that I know or believe to be untrue or incorrect, and then you are persistent and I'm trying to correct it and then want to move on. I'm not going to do that. Because what happens is in the course of our conversation, when you've moved on, now I can't go back to the point to correct it because we may not even remember it anymore. And it doesn't take anything off of you just to take a break. Let me do that, and I will let you go back to your point. Not an incorrect point, but I'll let you go on to your next point. All right? This text says, you're on point. The people just want to drop misinformation on your show, then disappear. No, I'm not doing that. No, that's not happening. Say, Mr. Lang, you did say 42, not 52. Okay, 52. I'm so sorry. I'm 52. I do know his name is 52, and I'm sorry I said 42. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. everybody tell me I did. Okay, clearly I said 42. I'm sorry. It's 52. All right? The idea here is that no matter what is now happening before the courts, the tenure at this point of any member of parliament is secure, saving and except that they make a decision not to continue in that post. And that's a decision that could be made because sometimes the matters that you are attending to require such full-time attention on your part that you just can't do the job adequately enough. Sometimes it's so distracting to be under a cloud of suspicion that you don't want for your own peace of mind and that of your family to have to contend with it that way. So, but it's a decision you have to make your own self. There's not a requirement that it be made in that manner. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
All right. Good afternoon, sir. I try to understand you this afternoon because this is my first time caller. Did you hear me good, Mr. Lang?
I can hear you well. Thank you.
Okay. I try to understand you. Let's say you are MP for Bintown and you represent the Bintown people. And the Prime Minister give you a job to do in another avenue, let's say secretary. And then you're doing something funny. And they brought you before the court. Let's say when you go before the court, they find you guilty. The law find you guilty. When you spend your time, you tell me, when you come back, you still represent Bintown?
No. I indicated to you that if you are sent, this is not me, this is the Constitution. If you are sentenced to imprisonment for more than a year, but if you're sentenced for less than a year, you're not disqualified as a member of parliament. That's what the Constitution says, not me. Okay, you understand? Okay, he's gone. This text says, good afternoon. You call yourself talk show host, but only your opinion counts. Give people a chance to voice their opinions or just stay home. You are very rude. Really? Really now? Okay, so let's look at the instance of 52. 52 made a point. He said that the emergency power is unconstitutional. I corrected the point. And while I was trying to correct the point, 52 kept trying to tell me, well, I wasn't really trying to call for that. So he kept trying to go on to another something. And so I wouldn't let him. And he persisted and persisted. So I had to get loud enough so that he could understand that I wanted him to stop. And I'm rude. I gave you my opinion when I quoted from the Constitution. And my opinion is that the emergency power isn't constitutional when it is, in fact, from the Constitution. And you might actually be the person. You just catch feelings on the matter. Okay? Y'all aren't going to offset me or get me off kilter by calling me names and all that kind of stuff because I'm too old for that. Okay? You tell me stay home. Why are you listening to the show? If I'm rude, why would you spend 2 hours of your time in a day listening to my show? I keep telling you before, I don't watch Fox News. I don't. I can't take it. Right? So I don't spend 2 hours of my time doing something that I regard as offensive and so forth. All right? And I read your thing because I want you to know I'm not afraid to read criticisms of myself. Okay? But listen to your language. Listen to you, your language. But I am the rude one. Oh, boy. Let me tell you something, boy. Emotional intelligence is very important. Very, very important. You hear me? I wish to God I had learned it in the most sophisticated way much earlier in my life. This text says, suck my D, they could change station and go. Of course you could change station. Like I said before, I wouldn't listen to Chicago Lang for 2 hours if he irritated me. I wouldn't do it. So Mr. Lang, if that person called you being rude, they should see your response 52, 25 years ago. That's true. 25 years ago. So Mr. Lang, continue to educate us. I'm going to continue. I don't want y'all to believe. I'm honestly not thin-skinned. Right, I know. I went to school. I went to Hawksville High School. A friend of mine told me that I needed to tell people. I went to Hawksville High School. Hawksville High School, I graduated there in 1984. So I was there from 79 till 84. And Hawksville High School was the largest school in the Bahamas. And let me tell you something, man. At school, right? And I was 4 foot nothing. And I was the head boy at the school. I'm there and I was trying to bring some water to the bus stop. Fella threw a big rock in the crowd and hit me in my forehead and make me bleed. The next day, with my bandage on my head, I went to do the job I was elected to do as head boy. So you got to press on with these things, man. These folks, who people take your life, take things personally, you lead them to themselves. You can't do nothing but that. You know, sometimes they're right about us, you know. They're right about our rudeness. They're right about our this and that. It's fine, too, if you think so. Amend yourself. Correct yourself. This text says, says, sir, say your show could be better served without 52. I don't mind 52 calling, man. I don't mind anybody calling. You know, I just, if you can't take my trying to order the show in a way, I mean, just don't call. Or, you know, do something different show in a way that helps all of us. Say, no wonder why we can't get anything changed in this country. All politicians that love this system get away with anything. Okay. Say, dear texter and callers, Mr. Lang is a former cabinet minister and MP who is trying to help us learn how the country works and be educated. If you don't want to be educated and learn about the country, don't tune in to at 96.9 FM at 2 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Lang. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's true. You had a place to say? Say, us politicians. Us politicians don't want change nothing now. I sat in the House of Assembly. We passed an abundance of new laws. We created minimum wage in the country, right? We amended all kinds of laws in this country. We amended the laws in the country so that you could have year-round licensing, right, in the country. We amended the laws in the country so that you could have private, free radio, right? We amended the law to be able to do all those kinds of things, but we don't want to change that. We even brought a law to give equality between men and women in the Bahamas, and the people of the country voted no. But we don't want to change it, us politicians. Boy, some of y'all get caught in your feelings. Y'all is getting irrational, man. Don't get caught. Listen, let me tell you what happens. We are emotional people, right? We are emotional creatures. So what happens is, what you don't know is, your emotions are generated in your limbic system, right? Of the limbic system, the limbic part of your brain. That's the part of your brain just above your reptilian brain. And your reptilian brain is like that instinctive part of you. It just reacts automatically to things. So if you touch something hot, boom, you'll move your hands automatically because that the reptilian part of your brain is what controls that. But the limbic part of your brain is the one that is scanning your environment for threats and danger, right? And so what happens is it generates feelings based on those observations it makes in the environment. It makes you feel fear or whatever, right? Now your neocortex, that's the part of your brain above the limbic, has to interpret what your limbic is observing to try and make sense of it. So your neocortex is the reasoning part of your brain. The reasoning part. What happens is, if you don't provide sufficiency of opportunity for your neocortex to try to assess the actual reality of what is going on, you will be governed by your emotional brain. And when your emotional brain will tell you, I hate Lang. I can't stand him. He's so rude, right? As opposed to your reasoning part that says, well, you know, I didn't quite like the way he said it that way, but he was making a point that made sense because he read from the Constitution. See, that's what the neocortex, the reasoning brain, would help you do. But when we are governed by our emotional selves, we run around talking all kinds of stupidness and reacting and behaving in ways that really represent lashing out, born of fear, more often than not, or hurt. That's what happens, right? I spent too many years of my life operating on my limbic system. I don't want to do that no more. But it ain't gonna stop me from being firm, assertive when it is required, especially the correct nonsense. If we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lane.
Hey, 52 again?
Yes, Mr. Lane, I called for you to explain something to me. You know, I never said the emergency powers was unconstitutional. What I was pointing out, that it breached the some constitutional laws. As said by the Prime Minister. Now, you know, I'm not looking for anybody.
You did say that, though. You said the emergency powers are unconstitutional. That's what you did say.
You mean? Hello?
Sorry?
When was the emergency powers introduced?
Well, it was invoked in March of 2020.
All right. And so the America's had their one in place way before that. So what I'm saying
America wasn't operating on the basis of any powers that had to do with our constitution. So I don't know what powers they used.
They had a form of emergency powers before us.
I know that we invoked emergency power provisions out of our constitution.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did. I don't know what they did.
For clarity. So, you know, I don't get it. But people, and this was not science we were talking about. I didn't call to talk about Adrian Gibson. I was called to deal strictly with constitution because the Prime Minister said he would have to violate our constitutional rights, right, during the pandemic. So what I'm saying is when the emergency powers is brought into existence, it is called a public law. But it's a misnomer to me as a thinker because the public had no input with the implementation of the Emergency Powers Act. All it was is a pad on us, and it was introduced, and it was exiled and ready as if they knew that they was going to have to use this. So what I'm saying, Mr. Lang, being the fact that the former Prime Minister said he would breach the Constitution, and you could correct me on this, when you change the Constitution, they carry it to a referendum to the people, they carry it to the Senate and the House, et cetera, and they get a treaty to vote, whatever, and then they bring it to the public. So what I'm saying is this law was introduced without public input. See, I'm not into the people who text anyone with 52, you know, because all they're showing is they're mindless. I don't hate you, Lang, and I don't thought you was rude.
No, I don't think so. I never thought that.
But you wasn't rude. The producer hung up because you promised to answer my other question that had nothing to do with this. And I just made an initial statement saying that I don't be quick to jump, presumptuous to jump to accuse people.
Can I tell you this, 52? When we use the expression in public policy, the word public, what we are saying is
government has always used that to take away freedoms.
No. It has a meaning. It has a meaning that is distinct from private, which means that when we say public, we're talking about those things that have to do with the collective and rather than has to do with a private determination or benefit. Okay, so let me give you an example. When we talk about a public street light, we're talking about that as distinct from the light in your kitchen. See, the light in your kitchen is for your own private enjoyment. And so you can use that to the exclusion of somebody else. But a public street light, you cannot turn off and say, it's shining in my house, therefore I want to turn it off. Your neighborhood want it on because it brightens their area and threats of burglars or thieves. So public refers not to, you didn't come and consult me, because it could only be invoked in law. So once the law is passed, the law itself becomes a public utility, a public provision. So that's what it means. So nobody has to come back and ask you personally anything for it to be public. The system doesn't work like that. Okay? We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together, storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp us on me on 439-3043. We have a text here that says, keep sharing knowledge, keep helping us grow past Erickson's development stage 3, continue to inspire us towards truth, constructive criticism and debate. I'm always learning something new from you and appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. So thank you for that. This one says, hey, you are rowdy or you come across rowdy. Pray for me, man. Pray for me. You know, when you grow up and you're like 4 foot nothing, and you're small and you can't fight, you start to use your voice. Pray for my man so I can stop being rowdy. Next thing you know, we can be Z Rowdy Lang. This says, a talk show I thought was a dialogue, not a monologue. There are various opinions, not all right, but the audience, I am sure, would like to hear their thinking out there. May not line up with your opinion line, but an opinion. First of all, this is good. This is great. I love this comment. First of all, a talk show is a talk show. That's what it is. And they know dialogue is not a monologue. It is whatever the host of the show makes the show. So some days I'm talking, nobody texts. I couldn't care less. I talk. Some days lots of people call, lots of people text. No problem. I couldn't care less. Some days we have music, lots of people text, lots of people call. A talk show is whatever the talk show host make it, as long as they're talking. Right? Secondly, There are no right or wrong opinions. That's where you get mixed up, Jack. I'm going to teach you something today. I hope you take the lesson. I know you're probably ticked off with me, right? But please, put your tick offness away for a minute. An opinion is a view you hold of things. Okay? A view I hold of things. It is not right or wrong. It's just a view you hold. A fact, well, that's a different story, though. Okay? So you should come on the show and say, my opinion is the sky is not blue. My opinion is trees are not plants. My opinion is you do not exist as a talk show host. And I should sit down and go, well, you know, you're entitled to that opinion. That ain't no opinion. That's a dead wrong. Right? Dead wrong. Because the fact and the evidence is against it. Now, if you say to me, my opinion is, if 52 or Anton or anyone calls the show and says, Shivago, I believe that the Progressive Liberal Party is the most progressive party in the Bahamas. You will never hear me row about that. And I dare you to find an occasion where I'm just going to row about something like that. I won't dispute it. That's their view. But if you call me that the brain does not interpret the sensory stimuli of the body such that a person can make sense of the world, I am going to refute that because there is evidence in support of that fact. Right? So, but I understand. I mean, no one wants to be criticized. Nobody wants to be yelled at. Nobody wants, I understand that. I can tell you one thing, 52 ain't as thin skinned as you seem to be. Who's sending me this decks? 52 calls back. He makes his point. He gets the point. He even tells me you weren't rude to me because you said you were going to listen to my next point, right? But some of you, I understand why you all are mad. I understand how you just get caught up in your feelings. I understand that. But let's not make the show about me, right? If you have a new point, a new piece of knowledge you want to add, I'm happy to take this, that point. Let me make sure you understand something, folks. That the ultimate power that is being exercised by any one of them, prime minister, his cabinet ministers, the members of parliament, the senators, the judiciary, all of those powers originate, firstly, in you, the holders of the office of citizen of the Bahamas, right? And so with that being the case, when you make a decision, as in when you put a provision in your constitution that you call an entrenched provision, only you can undo that provision. That's how profoundly powerful the power you have is. And so when you send a representative to parliament, it is not possible, unless you change it, to willy-nilly remove that member of parliament. The text says true, okay, but that's what I said. Opinion is an opinion and may differ from yours. No, that wasn't what you said. See, once you put it in writing, let me tell you what you said. You said individuals don't have the, you said that that there are various opinions, not all right. That's what you said. By your own implication, you're saying that some opinions are right. So you didn't say what I just said. And that's what I was trying to correct. Okay? This text says, it was not to RM is a collective input. Though one individual don't have the right to impose on the collective shouldn't be allowed to take away the rights of the individual. Politicians have always the collective good to take away our freedoms throughout history. Okay, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to C-Live. I'm Shabar Rulani, your host, Beauty Bar, after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back. Every Tuesday as a section at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciate their work to improve their level of service.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Rulang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. This I wanted to mention something in reference to something Texas said about politicians taking away your freedom, right? If a politician takes away your freedom and you do not challenge that before the courts, for instance, then you're not exercising the full breadth of your power. Now, I know that's easier said than done because now you got to go get a lawyer and so forth and so forth. They're taking away the freedom of a group of people. So it is possible for, through a class action suit, to have somebody bring an action to have the courts review the matter. And if the courts deem it so, then you can have that matter, that power exercised by the politician, reversed. I want to remind people of something, because we have a genuine suspicion of our political system. Do you recall that Frank Smith and Shane Gibson, Progressive Liberal Party politicians and former cabinet ministers and member of parliament and senators, were charged before the court under a FNM administration? Not an FNM court, you know, under an FNM administration presiding over the government. And they were acquitted under an FNM administration. They were acquitted. So notwithstanding the power held by the prime minister and his colleagues and all those who were in power, and then was an action brought to prosecute them under the law, while they were the sitting government, the court said no. Said no, this accusation has not been proven. And they were acquitted. So similarly, if the court rules one way or the other in this circumstance, say they accept somebody, find some evidence of some corruption on the part of the courts, we know that we have a system which, notwithstanding it is governed by one group of people in terms of the partisan politics of the country, we know that it is possible for the courts to exercise a judgment that may be inconsistent with what the prevailing administration may want. That's good news for the country. That's good news for the country. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show, my brother. Do not worry about the noise of the market, just the price of the fish. Awesome job, most educational radio host. My Jamaican friend texted me this. Bless up. Thank you very much. All right. Turnout. I see we talked about yesterday some of the stakes involved in these proceedings. And I see the FNM has indicated it is standing with Mr. Gibson. So, you know, I'm sure for him that is a confidence booster, allows him some encouragement in the circumstances and what have you, you know. And I couldn't really see it otherwise. The leader of the party has indicated that he, because of the sensitivity of the matter, was not going to comment on anything. But a case has to happen. And you know, when you go to court, anything could happen, one way or the other. Because there are others who have to make judgments about, it's not only what is alleged, but the degree to which that which is alleged may or may not have been as alleged. And so you go and it's not what you allege, but what you can prove. Right? You could know something to be the case and still not be able to prove it. Right? You can have all the circumstantial evidence in the world and it may not be sufficient to convince a jury of the veracity of something. Or it may be sufficient. And that's why we have the rigors of our judicial system to make this kind of inquiry. That's what the court case is. It's an inquiry. That's what it is. It's an inquiry. And so the prosecution on behalf of the state brings its evidence. And then the defense on behalf of the defendant pleads its case. Because the person before the court is innocent, it is the burden of the prosecution to prove that person guilty, right? To prove that person guilty. So in essence, the defendant is defending against the charges levied against him, while incidentally to prove himself innocent, but really to invalidate the claims that are being levied against him or her, right? And so in the rigors of that debate before the courts, that's what it is. You don't go in there and fight. You don't go in the court and fight. You don't go in there and wrestle people down. This is all about the verbalizing of the case to be made, supported by, in instances, material evidence, logic, witnesses, and the like. And the whole process is about one thing: allowing judges and jurors to make up their minds on a matter. Because once all the evidence is presented, they go away, the jurors or the judge, to do what? Consider it, and make up their minds. That's where what it all boils down to in the end. A mental manipulation. That's what it boils down to. Anyway, I trust and hope you have a fantastic evening. Get yourself some rest to prepare for your day tomorrow. God be live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best life.